It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio. Glad to have you with us today. Sandy Rios in the Morning is a show. Walker Wildman here sitting in for our Sandy Rios this morning. Glad to be with you on today's show. Monday, September 23rd is the day. AFR.net is our website. Check it out. AFR.net's our website. You can also catch the podcast. Any podcast, not just Sandy Rios in the Morning, but any podcast you can catch not only on the app, but you can also download the podcast on your smartphone, tablet device, various other ways to catch not only this show, but past shows and any other show you hear on American Family Radio. So various ways to keep up with American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning. You can also follow Sandy on Facebook. Just type in Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook. Check out her Facebook page there. Some of the news stories that we talk about usually get posted there every once in a while. So check out Sandy Rios on Facebook. A couple other things I want to mention before we jump into the news of the day is I was in Fredericksburg, Virginia this past week on Thursday night. I was in Fredericksburg, Virginia with my brother Wesley Wildman, Abraham Hamilton III, and Rob Chambers. We were there at an event in Fredericksburg, Virginia. So for those of you who I spoke to and shook your hand and got to talk to, glad to see you in Fredericksburg, Virginia. We have a pretty good listening audience there around Washington, D.C., so that was encouraging to know. We have various listeners that live in Washington. So good to be up there with you. And if you want to check out more about our events that we do across the country, we'll be doing some major events leading into next year, into 2020, but I'll keep you updated on that once we get those up on the website so you can go check them out and see if we're coming to an area near you. A couple things I want to talk about today. First, we're going to spend a pretty good amount of time on this this story that has to do with President Trump and the Ukrainian president, the phone call they had. We're going to talk about that. You know, one thing I'm learning, and this is, Sandy says this pretty often, I've heard it from her, is that, you know, the thing that the left, that the political left usually accuses President Trump of, they're guilty of. They usually accuse President Trump of the very same things that they're guilty of, whether it comes to colluding with the Russians, which isn't even a crime, or even when it comes to this phone call with the Ukrainian president. Just to set this up, and I'm not sure exactly what day this story broke. I'm not sure if Sandy's touched on it or not, but I'm going to kind of recap what's going on. You know, over the weekend and late on Friday, you know, the media was talking about how there was a whistleblower. There was a whistleblower complaint. Someone from the intelligence community filed a whistleblower complaint about how President Trump said something inappropriate on a phone call with a foreign leader. Well, because Washington's not good at keeping secrets, that information leaked, and it turns out that all indicators are that President Trump was on a phone call with the Ukrainian president, and at some point, former Vice President Joe Biden's name came up. And his name came up, well, we don't really know the full context of why his name came up, so I'm not even going to go to speculating. But what we do know is the history of Ukraine and Joe Biden. And so that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about what we do know, the history between Joe Biden, the former vice president, and Ukraine. Let's just do a brief rundown. So if we go back to 2014, 2015, and some of 2016, President Obama named Joe Biden the go-to man, or the lead liaison between the U.S. and Ukraine. He did that in 2014. Well, not long after that, Vice President Joe Biden flies over to Ukraine, and he meets with a fellow by the name of Devin Archer. Who is Devin Archer? Devin Archer is a business partner with Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden is the vice president's son. And so Joe Biden meets with Hunter Biden's business partner, his son's business partner, Devin Archer, in April 2014. Right after Archer was named to the board of a company named Burisma, B-U-R-I-S-M-A, Burisma. Well, what does this company do, Burisma? Well, they sell energy. They sell energy, oil, natural gas, and other energy. Why is this significant? Because just a few months after, actually 1 month after, Joe Biden met with Devin Archer in Ukraine. Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, was named to the board to oversee this energy company's legal team. Moving on here to a few other interesting facts. This is all coming from TheHill.com. John Solomon, who has broken some of these scandals, he's broken the stories. But U.S. banking records show Hunter Biden's American-based firm, Rosemont Seneca Partners, LLC, received regular transfers into one of its accounts, usually more than $166,000 a month, from Burisma. From the spring of 2014 through the fall of 2015, during a period, I'm reading from the news story here, during a period when Vice President Biden was the main U.S. official dealing with Ukraine in its tense relations with Russia. And so after you add all that up, John Solomon reports that Hunter Biden made roughly $3 million over the course of a year, or a little over a year, from this this Ukrainian energy company. And if you think that's not scandalous enough, then let's fast forward to 2018, where Joe Biden, and we're going to play the clip here, Joe Biden is speaking at some foreign policy conference, and he goes to bragging about how he had a Ukrainian prosecutor fired back when he was as vice president. And so let's listen to clip two, Vice President Biden talking about how he had a prosecutor fired in Ukraine. Clip two, let's listen.
We're not going to give you $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a got fired.
All right, well, there you have it. That's Vice President Biden, 2018, after he's left the White House, left the vice presidency. And the connection here, folks, is he brags about firing that prosecutor, which he doesn't really explain why he wanted him fired. But as it turns out, that same prosecutor was investigating who? Hunter Biden. The same prosecutor in Ukraine was investigating Hunter Biden for his business dealings with Russia, Ukraine. And so that's where the scandal is here, folks. That's where the scandal is. And you want to talk about obstruction of justice. You know, they accused President Trump of obstructing justice, which the president legally can't do. But Vice President Biden urging the Ukrainian president at the time, back in March of 2016, to fire a local prosecutor And guess what Joe Biden did? He said, if you don't fire him, you're not getting this $1 billion in U.S. loan guarantees. And so Vice President Biden had an investigation into his own son squashed, and he used American taxpayer dollars as leverage to get that squashed. Another person who kind of set this up very well is Sebastian Gorka. Many of you know that. He used to be a special advisor to President Trump. Very, very good on foreign policy. Sebastian Gorka set this up really well on all of the corruption that happened with Biden and his family. Clip three, let's listen.
The stepson of John Kerry, the son of Joseph Biden, when they were cabinet members of the Obama administration, created a new investment fund called Seneca. They inked a $1 billion deal with the Chinese government, the Bank of China, and then together proceeded, this is just one example, to buy a U.S. manufacturing company called Hennings that was making very sensitive equipment crucial to our American military here at home.
Okay, so I didn't even mention that. So that's separate. So what Sebastian Gorka just mentioned is the Biden and, by the way, John Kerry's stepsons involved here. I mean, this is all of Washington, D.C. This is how they make money, is they get their family members to do the business deals, which is actually legal. It shouldn't be, but it's legal. This is what happens with the Clintons. This is what happens with Mitch McConnell and his wife. This happens actually all the time in Washington, D.C. And so Sebastian Gorka, they actually mentioned something that I didn't, and that's that the Biden Kerry firm actually bought up they bought sensitive U.S. intelligence equipment, military equipment, and then they sold it off to a foreign company. And they sold it off to the Chinese government. That's an entirely separate story that I don't have time to get into. But you get the point here. You get the point here. And jumping back into Washington, D.C. and the story that broke late last week, about this alleged whistleblower, you know, filing a complaint against the President of the United States, it turns out, folks, this stuff is so, the media has no, they have no standards. They have no decency, no shame. It turns out that the alleged whistleblower wasn't even on the phone call. You know, they first broke the story saying, well, this had to be, you know, a firsthand experience. This had to be an intelligence official who was on the phone call when President Trump was talking to the Ukrainian president. But it turns out that the alleged whistleblower wasn't even on the call, which I'm not even sure you can file a whistleblower complaint if you don't have firsthand knowledge of the so-called, scandal. And the accusation is that President Trump mentioned something about the Ukrainians needing to investigate what went on with Hunter Biden. And Washington, D.C. is freaking out over this. But honestly, there's nothing wrong with that. The President of the United States can mention to a foreign leader about investigating whatever he wants. And he heads up the U.S. justice system. He's the chief law enforcement officer in the country. So here, domestically, he can say, I want you to investigate whatever. Now, that doesn't make it right, but it's legal. It's legal. But CNN buried the revelation that the whistleblower wasn't even on the phone call 22 paragraphs into the breaking news story. Imagine that. But you know what's happening here, and as Sandy says, what they're accusing President Trump of, they're guilty of. Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden are guilty of colluding with the Ukrainians to rake in millions of dollars in business deals. That's what they're guilty of, so that's what we should investigate, not President Trump. Sandy Rios in the morning. We'll be back in a few minutes.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Pause to Pray. A moment each day to pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Mark Esper, the United States Secretary of Defense. Mr. Esper maintains command and authority over the U.S. military, second only to the President. Deuteronomy 20:1 reminds us of God's blessings of protection. When you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for guidance for Mark Esper as he leads our nation's military. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. New York City wants to honor women, but there's controversy. That story next. Todd Starnes here, and America is facing a great danger as socialism and secularism continue to grip our nation. The left is not holding back in this culture war, and neither can we. That's why Liberty University's mission of training the next generation of faith-based conservative leaders is so vital. Their students know the value of free enterprise and individual freedom, and they will fight for it. So join me in supporting the next generation of conservative leaders. Visit liberty.edu/Starnes today. The wife of New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio wants to erect a statue honoring a notable woman in the community. But Mrs. de Blasio's catching heat because she rejected the results of a public vote. Now, the top vote-getter was Mother Frances Cabrini, America's first saint. She was an Italian immigrant who also became a naturalized citizen and did more for immigrants than anyone else in her day. However, Mrs. de Blasio's committee tossed out the nomination. No reason given. Instead, the city opted to honor two drag queens, members of a group called the Street Transvestite Action Revolutionaries. The faithful of St. Francis Cabrini Church were very disappointed by the slight, but when they heard the saint was tossed aside for a pair of drag queens, well, all they could say was, holy mackerel. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the morning. Glad to be with you. My name is Walker Wildman, and I'm guest hosting today for Sandy Rios. American Family Radio is a network. AFR.net is our website. Go there, check it out. You can listen live there at our website, AFR.net. You can also catch past shows. And if you weren't able to listen to this entire show today, you can always catch it later at our website, AFR.net. Jumping back into this story about Vice President Joe Biden, his son Hunter Biden, and their business deals with Ukraine and with this energy company, President Trump might just be outflanking the left here. And here's what I mean by that. It could be that President Trump mentioned investigating the Bidens on the phone call with the Ukrainian leader. It could be that he mentioned that on purpose, knowing that someone would leak that to the media, and then it would start this big one-week news story. And in turn, it would end up highlighting the fact that Hunter Biden did a business deal with Ukrainians while his father was the head liaison with Ukraine and the U.S. And so this entire thing might end up backfiring, because here's what's going to happen. Before this news story about President Trump's phone call with the Ukrainian leader, before this story broke, only people who kept up with the inside workings of Washington, D.C. really knew about this Biden-Ukraine story. But now the national media is, in an attempt to go after President Trump, they're going to end up highlighting the very thing that they've been covering up for years. That being these political leaders doing business deals with their family members, between their family members and foreign governments. These aren't even foreign private entities in most instances. It's foreign governments. If you look at who all the Chinese government has done business dealings with in the U.S., it's scary. Speaking of Joe Biden, Hunter Biden did a $1 billion business deal with the Chinese government and the Bank of China back when Joe Biden was vice president. So this goes very, very deep. And if you want to know more, I would encourage you to read Peter Schweitzer's book. Peter Schweitzer has written several books, one of them Clinton Cash, but he also wrote another book about how outlining all the various business dealings between foreign governments and American political leaders. So you can check that out. Peter Schweitzer is his name. He's the author, and he's the one that really has exposed a lot of this going on between U.S. government leaders and foreign governments. So Peter Schweitzer is his name. His book is Clinton Cash, and then he wrote a more recent book expounding on not just the Clintons but other foreign leaders. I want to transition and move on from this topic and talk about the supposed Iranian attack on the Saudi oil field early last week, and talk about the role of the U.S. when it comes to this. You know, I'm a little mixed on this because I think the U.S. probably needs to do something, but I just don't know how much. And I think President Trump has been very, very wise when it comes to not getting the U.S. tied up in more foreign wars. Yes, we're still in Afghanistan. We're still in various parts of Syria and other places. But President Trump has not expanded and sent more troops into more places. And he campaigned on getting America out of foreign wars, getting American soldiers back home, focusing on American interests, and he's done a good job at that. And the question really has to come up and needs to be discussed. And see, the problem is, the folks in Washington, it's an echo chamber. Trust me, even amongst the different parties, it's an echo chamber in Washington, D.C. There is the status quo, and the vast majority of people in Washington go by the status quo. That's why both Republicans and Democrats are going, oh, we've got to strike back against Iran. We've got to launch retaliatory strikes against Iran. We just need to bomb them. That's what Lindsey Graham, Liz Cheney, all the Democrats, well, some of the Democrats, not all, but people. My point is, people from both parties have this mindset that if a foreign adversary does anything, even if it's not to American interest, then we just got to bomb them. We got to send troops over there. We got to bomb them. We've got to get involved. But the question we have to ask ourselves is why? And I'm not saying we shouldn't get involved, but I'm just saying we need to discuss what's the sole purpose of getting involved. And if it's anything other than looking out for Israel and the United States, then I say we stay out. Can we provide support? Absolutely, we can provide support. But I'm talking about the U.S. being the main force going after these foreign countries. And when you look at Saudi Arabia, who's they were the ones attacked, their oil fields, And don't get me wrong, attacking these oil fields is huge. Not in a good way. I mean, this is very, very serious that the Iranians feel emboldened enough to launch bombs or drone attacks on these oil fields because of how much of the world's oil supply comes from these oil fields. But Rand Paul made a good point, and I couldn't get this clip. The audio wasn't very well, but I'm just going to read it to you. Senator Rand Paul, speaking to One American News Network, said this about Saudi Arabia and the Iran potential conflict there. He said, if you add Saudi Arabia's military budget to all their allies, all these Gulf states that surround Saudi Arabia, they spend 8 times more on military than Iran. So they're more than capable of holding off Iran or retaliating against Iran. And he goes on to say what I just said, and the real question is, why does it have to be the U.S.? And I agree with Rand Paul on this. I agree with Rand Paul on this because, you know, Israel is very vulnerable, believe it or not, because they're surrounded by foes. They're surrounded by enemies, and their state is relatively small. It's like the size of some U.S. states. And so us defending and backing up Israel at all costs, I'm 100% for that. I think the Bible calls for that. But the question comes up, why do we have to defend Saudi Arabia? Because, believe it or not, President Trump, 2.5-3 years ago, did a weapons deal with Saudi Arabia where the U.S. is selling them vast weaponry systems. And so Rand Paul is saying, why don't we let Saudi Arabia take care of itself? And then if we want to play a supportive role on the world stage, I'm good with that. But why does it have to be Americans going to bomb Iranians because the Iranians bombed Saudi Arabia? And if you really start narrowing this down to where we only protect the homeland and our allies, meaning Israel, and we have other allies, but I'm talking about allies who really need help defending themselves, then it'll turn out where we're not really involved in any foreign wars because we're not needed to be involved in any other foreign wars because we have this vast ocean separating us from our foes, and that's a good thing. And so President Trump has done very, very good about reining us back in and upsetting the status quo to where we don't have to be involved in every single world conflict. And better yet, we don't have to send troops, American troops, into these foreign wars where U.S. interests are not directly at play. Speaking of President Trump, looking at this daily tracking poll from Rasmussen reports, President Trump is at a 52% approval rating. This was as of Friday. President Trump, that's the highest. He might have hit 52 at some point earlier in his presidency, but I'm not sure he's been higher than 52. I'm not sure he's been higher than 52%. And the fact that President Trump's able to get 52% approval rating with the media attacks as relentless as they are, that's pretty impressive. Shifting on to a few of the news stories I wanted to talk about before we take calls on the next segment. And if you want to go ahead and call in and get lined up, we'll be glad to take your calls. Sandy Rios in the Morning is the show. Walker Wildman here, guest hosting for Sandy Rios. Glad to have you with us. Check out our website, afr.net. That's afr.net. Here's the phone number to call in, and we'll take your calls after this next break. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Another thing I wanted to talk about is this so-called gun control or gun regulations that the Democrats and even some Republicans are wanting to pass. And it's been floated out there that President Trump wants to pass something too. Now, what President Trump wants to pass is unclear, So I'm not going to delve into what I'm not sure. I don't know where he stands on this is what I'm getting at. So I'm not going to start commenting on it, on where he stands and whether he's right or wrong and this and that. We'll just have to wait and see. But an interesting point, and see, the left-wing media will not cover this because it works against their narrative of confiscating our guns. And you can call it what you want, but what they're talking about now, folks, is gun confiscation. This is not some voluntary buyback program where you get a tax credit or cash for turning your gun in. No, what some of these Democrats are talking about is a mandatory confiscation, which is what happens in foreign countries when people lose their freedom. But the point I want to talk about is another talking point that they have is that we need universal background checks. We need universal background checks. We need background checks at these private gun shows. We need background checks between two private parties who are selling a gun. We need universal background checks because they claim that that will make our country safer. But listen to this. This is from Senator Ted Cruz's office. In 2010, 48,000 felons and fugitives lied, and they illegally tried to purchase a gun, despite federal law stating that felons cannot buy guns. Guess how many the Obama Justice Department prosecuted? 44. The Obama Justice Department prosecuted 44 of 48,000 felons who tried to buy a gun in 2010. That's 1 year alone. And the reason I bring that up is that we can pass laws galore, but if our Justice Department's not enforcing and prosecuting the most basic of laws, then what good does it do? And we all know that this is not about making our country safer. Do some people in Washington want to make our country safer? Yeah, maybe a few. But this is about government control, folks. This is about straight up government control of America. This is not about stopping shootings. Because if you look at Chicago, it's like a war zone up there. They got the strictest gun regulations in the country. The bad guys are always going to get guns. If let's just say you outlaw guns across the entire U.S., guess what? They're going to smuggle them up from Mexico. They'll smuggle them in from Canada. And the bad guys will be left with the guns. So this is not about making our country safe. If it was about making our country safe, then how about the Department of Justice needs to start prosecuting more than 44 of the 48,000 felons who try to buy a firearm? This is all feel-good propaganda, feel-good laws that have no meat to them. This is all talk and no action. Because let's just say Congress passes some universal background check law. Well, if we're not going to enforce the law, then why pass it? And that's what I'm talking about when it comes to the Department of Justice. You talk about a joke. 48,000 felons try to buy guns and only 44 of them get prosecuted. That is neglect to the greatest extent. Maybe... Well, that was 2010, but I was going to say maybe the FBI was too busy going after the Trump campaign, but that was 2015 and 16, but you get the point. They're not focused on the things that they should be focused on. I'm talking about the Department of Justice. Sandy Rios in the morning. Call in 888-589-8840. We'll take your calls after the break. Sandy Rios in the morning. Walker Wildman sitting in today. We'll talk to you in a few minutes.
Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight. why the bush is not burned. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. In the burning bush encounter, Scripture records that it began as Moses kept Jethro's flock. When the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to see, he called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." Notice God didn't speak to Moses until he gave full attention to what God was trying to show him. Diligent attention to daily duty is necessary. We must be careful, however, not to allow duty to become an idol. Are our hearts still sensitive to God? Can God still get our attention?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
I was watching that orange shadow of the earth was falling on the moon. I was out there and Angie and I were looking at the sky and we said a prayer. His solar system moves with clock-like precision. If God can oversee the movement of the planets with absolute precision, He can look after our lives too, Candy Bird.
That is a word well said.
Exploring the Word, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Regressives have a seething hatred for men and masculinity. The American Psychological Association tells us that when men act with strength, determination, and appropriate aggressiveness, they are displaying toxic masculinity. But men, being men, is what achieved our liberty in 1776, freed the slaves in 1865, and defeated Hitler and the Nazis in 1945. Along the way, men tamed the wilderness, built strong families, and through the Protestant work ethic, built the greatest, strongest, and freest nation in the history of the world. God wants American men to be men, not feminized versions of men. I've made a modest contribution to manhood in America through the Boy to Man book. It's for fathers who want to turn their 12-year-old boys into men. You can order your copy today at afastore.net.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Religious freedom is the foundational liberty. It underpins all others in the U.S. Constitution. It is also enshrined in the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And religious tolerance conduces to civilized behavior and economic prosperity. President Trump is making an important address today on the margins of the U.N. General Assembly. He'll call on the countries whose representatives are in the room to respect religious liberty. It's likely his audience won't include, however, the scores of national leaders who persecute believers and yet are welcome at the General Assembly meetings. So Mr. Trump should reprise from the General Assembly's main stage on Tuesday what should be tomorrow's key message. The United States government will hold accountable and impose costs on those who persecute people of faith, especially 327 million Christians, approximately the population of our entire country. This is Frank Affney. Learn more at SaveThePersecutedChristians.org.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Walker Wildman here sitting in for Sandy this morning. Glad to have you with us. AFR.net's the website. You can also download the AFR app on your smartphone, your tablet device. If you want to call in, and we'll be glad to take your questions, comments, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. One other clip I've got to play. Speaking of those in Washington wanting more government control of literally everything, I'm going to play clip four here. This is Senator Bennett from Colorado, and this senator is talking about how he's not sure if democracy is up to the task of combating climate change. Clip four, let's listen.
I think this is a test that's not well understood by some of the candidates in the race and has not been well debated, is our democracy up to this task? And that is a really non-trivial question because...
I mean, it clearly isn't right now.
So far, we have not. We haven't been.
Well, there you have it. That's Senator Michael Bennett. Yes, a U.S. senator who's sworn to protect and defend the Constitution, talking about how he's not sure if democracy is up to the task of combating fake climate change. You know what he's saying? This is a sitting U.S. senator talking about, you know, maybe we should just throw the Constitution in the trash. Because I'm not really sure if the Constitution is able to combat climate change and save our world. The rising sea levels. The icebergs are melting. While Obama buys a beachfront property on Martha's Vineyard, $15 million. You want to know how many carbon emissions that puppy puts out? I don't even want to do the math. He's probably got like 5 or 6 air conditioner units. And it just proves that the left does not believe in their propaganda. They don't genuinely believe that the world is burning because of fake climate change. Because if they did, they would stop flying their private jets around the world to attend these climate change summits. This is all about government control. This is all about government control, and the media is in the pocket of the Democrat Party. They're one in the same. There's no more independent press. The main media players are all in the pocket of the Democrat Party. And the reason I can say that when it comes to this issue is because they all signed on, the vast majority of the media outlets signed on to this climate change agreement where they would spend the latter half of September pushing the fake climate change propaganda. And so if you turn on CNN, you turn on MSNBC, you'll notice that all they're talking about the last few weeks of this month is man-made climate change. That's because they're all in cahoots. You want to talk about collusion, that's where the collusion is. Mainstream media in the pocket of the Democrat Party. And U.S. Senator Michael Bennett there saying, you know, maybe basically he's saying, maybe we should just get rid of democracy if it means we can save the world from climate change. Folks, these guys are dangerous. People like this are a threat to our country. He is an adversary to this Constitution and this country. There's no way you can hold the position that we need to throw the Constitution in the trash, and then you're supposed to be a friend to our country? People like that that hold that viewpoint are just as much of a threat, if not more, than foreign adversaries. Because he actually has a vote on the U.S. Senate floor. That is scary, to say the least. Jumping onto the call lines, we're going to go to Eric in Texas. So let's see here. Eric, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
How you doing, sir?
Hey, doing well. How about you, Eric?
Doing fine. You brought up earlier about gun control and gun legislation. I just want to let you know, all the Democrats, majority Republicans, and Donald Trump are out there wanting to push red flag laws. If these are pushed on a federal level, it will end the Second Amendment. I want to know what your opinion is about it.
All right, Eric, I appreciate the call there, brother. I agree with you 1,000%. The red flag laws are a bad idea. I talked about this on my show. I host a weekend show called Exposing Washington on Saturday afternoon here on AFR. And the red flag laws are dangerous. And here's why. You know, they talk about due process. There is no due process here, folks. At least the red flag laws that have been passed thus far, the one in Florida, there's some in various other states across the country. There is not due process. Your individual rights, your Second Amendment rights, are infringed upon before there's due process, which is backwards. You're supposed to have due process first, before the government clamps down. But what they're doing with these red flag laws is the government, a judge, and the law enforcement officials, they hold a secret hearing without you there, and then they talk about how crazy you are and how you don't deserve a firearm and how you're mentally unstable and how you're a right-wing loon. And then the judge says, okay, here, I'll sign this paper. Go take their guns. And then the first thing you know is you get a knock on the door, and then in walk the police, and they confiscate your guns. And then after they confiscate your guns, then you get due process, which is not how our system of government is supposed to work. The due process takes place first before the government imposes penalties, because you have to be proven guilty before the government is supposed to be doing things like confiscating your property. And so, yes, I agree, red flag laws are horrendous. They're horrendous. Let's go to Royce in Arkansas. Royce, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Well, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. I got you loud and clear.
Oh, okay. I was calling about the red flag laws, and some of these laws are trying to pass up in Washington also. Appreciated what the gentleman before had to say, but I just wanted to point out that these red flag laws are just a small part of what's actually happening in that Congress up there. They have over 100 gun bills that are submitted presently to Congress and trying to get them passed. The Democrats have already passed some of them, trying to get the Senate involved in it, and that's just the beginning, because this attack on our Second Amendment, I would like to remind the listeners to this, that if this Second Amendment goes down, our First Amendment goes down, and that's what this is for. This will automatically take our Constitution away from us, take our democracy away from us. It is so imperative that we get our representatives, Democrats and Republicans, because a lot of the Republicans are on board with this,
yep,
and stop this, get our representation, because they think this is the time, and what they're doing is doing. But 100 bills filed, that tells you that they're sincere and they're serious,
yep,
and they're not taking no for an answer from the citizens of this country, and they're lying to us about the what's happening. Mass killings is less than 2% of all the gun killings in this country, and most of those are by illegal aliens. Mm. So I've been doing some checking on this, and I just want to remind the people, we so much need to get a hold of our representatives and insist that they stop this, because it is going to destroy our Constitution if they get this passed. Mm. And I appreciate you letting me speak so long here. Thank
sure.
you.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Royce, there from Arkansas. And Royce is exactly right. Royce is exactly right. You know, the problem we're facing is multifaceted. You have the Democrats and the people who hate our country and want to tear it apart, and the people like Senator Bennett that I played the clip of a few minutes ago. But then you have the Republicans. And the Republicans, I'm speaking generally here, there are a few of them that fight, like Senator Cruz and others, but they latch on to these fake narratives, these propaganda talking points. The Republicans latch onto them, and then they inch farther to the left. This idea that passing some kind of background check or red flag law is going to make our country safer, half of the Republicans have already bought into that as if it's a fact. As if it's a fact, it's an established fact that passing such or said legislation is going to make our country safer. So if you buy into this propaganda, then you've already given up your stand. You've already given up your side of the issue. So we have to stop basing our discussions and the way we talk about this, we need to stop basing it on the left-wing propaganda. We need to start basing it on reality. And the reality is that more laws are not going to make our country safer, because the Department of Justice needs to start enforcing our existing laws, and then we can talk about more laws. But until the Department of Justice stops sitting on their hands and starts actually prosecuting felons who try to buy guns, more than 44 out of 48,000, after they do all that and get that cleaned up, then we can talk about what we need to do next. But until then, we're not, we shouldn't be doing anything else, shouldn't be adding more regulations on top of what we already have. Corey in Texas. Corey, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Hey, good morning, Brother Walker. How you doing, sir?
Hey, doing well.
Hey, I'm calling in regards to your question. You posed a question, why is America always taking the lead in foreign affairs, military conflicts? I've got three words for that, and that's military-industrial complex. And I want to encourage the listeners there to YouTube Kevin Shipp. That's Kevin Shipp, S-H-I-P-P, former CIA career guy that came out as a whistleblower during the Obama era. To expose what's going on. He's a brother in the Lord, awesome guy, and he goes full on into a lot of these topics that we discuss every day. And but that's the reason, the billions upon billions of dollars that gets funneled to Raytheon, General Dynamics, Boeing, Booz Allen Hamilton, etc., and then gets funneled back to these politicians. And that's why you notice when it comes to this topic, both the Democrats and Republicans seem to see eye to eye. Well, it's because they're both being fed on the back end.
That's a good point.
So it's just a vicious cycle. And my fear is that one day those same weapons that – so whether or not we're being involved directly or indirectly, we're funneling billions of dollars of weapons to our quote-unquote allies. And my fear is one day those same weapons are going to be used against us.
Yes.
And so it's a – it's a very scary thing. And anyways, I encourage you, maybe have your dad or whoever look into having Kevin Shipp come on one of these programs sometime. He is a wealth of knowledge. Again, a God-fearing man.
Sure.
And he has paid a heavy price for coming out against the CIA.
Yeah. All right, Corey, appreciate that. Corey from Texas. And, you know, Corey makes a good point because, you know, one of the main arms deals that we did, which I talked about earlier, is with Saudi Arabia. And just speaking frankly, you know, Saudi Arabia is just not on the same page as us ideologically. And that's a well-established fact. They are a majority Muslim nation that does not have the same freedoms that we have in America. And there were some who raised concern about us selling that many arms to an Islamic regime. And that's what we did with Saudi Arabia. Now, is it good right now? Yeah, it's they seem to be acting right. You know, that I wouldn't call Saudi Arabia an adversary. But to our caller's point there, at some point they could be. And so we got to be careful as a country who we sell our weapon systems to and make sure that they are on the same page as America ideologically and foreign policy-wise. But there's definitely money at stake in Washington, D.C., and honestly, it appears, the more we look into this, that money is one of the key drivers of the corruption in our country when it comes to political leaders. Sandy Rios in the Morning, glad to have you with us this Monday. Check out our website, afr.net. Stay tuned to American Family Radio, and we'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.